Boker Tov. Good morning. The daf for today is Kuf Chaf Vav. And the last thing we spoke about on Kuf Chaf He Amid Beis was the Shita of Rabbi Abba. And Rabbi Abba is coming to interpret the sheet of the Chachamim with regard to Pokikin Es HaChalon. And what happens is he designates a pkak, a certain shutter, that he uses to shutter up the window, close up the window on a regular basis. He takes it in, takes it out, opens the window, closes the window. And he's allowed to put that back and close up, plug up the window on Shabbos. And it doesn't matter whether it's kosher, whether it's tolui, bein kach u'bein kach, even if he just has the shutter sitting on the ground, it's not attached to the window at all, nevertheless it's permitted. Amalei Rabbi Yirmiya. So on the top of Kuf Chav Vav Amud Aleph, we have the shita of Rabbi Abba, bein kosher, bein sheino kosher, as long as he designated this pkak, this shutter, that's enough. And the reason for that is because he's being mosif al ha'ohel, al ha'binyan, bi ofen aroy. He's adding something to the structure, but the structure already exists, so therefore he's not violating meleches bone on a doraisa level. And number two, whatever he's putting on and attaching is only on a temporary basis. And therefore, if you add A plus B, it's neither biblical, and it's not even osim mid rabbanon, because it's mosif li oel aroy. And that's mutar on Shabbos. That's Rabbi Abba. But Rabbi Yirmiya says, humbly Rabbi Yirmiya, v'lema mar, just because the Chachamim said, bein kach u'bein kach pokekin, maybe it means something else. Bein tolui, bein eno tolui. But v'husha kosher. It doesn't mean necessarily that the Chachamim dropped both conditions. Rabbi Eliezer had two conditions. And he required both kosher, that there should be a string that is tied down to the shutter, which makes it part of the structure. And number two, he required tolui. It should be obvious to everyone who sees this shutter, that this shutter is attached, it's hanging in midair. And when the Chachamim said, bein kach u'bein kach, it's mutter, what they meant to say was that whether it's tolui or ain't a tolui, whether it's suspended in midair, it's a very short string, or it's a long string and it's dragging on the ground, but we need that string, we need that kesher. And not only that, says Rabbi Yirmiya, I'm going to prove to you from a Mishnah at the end of Masechta Erevin, based on an interpretation of Rabbi Yochanan, of that Mishnah at the end of Erevin, that the Chachamim of Rabbi Eliezer, in the case of Pkak HaChalon, would certainly require kosher. It's got to be tied down, otherwise it's not even obvious to anyone that it's part of the structure of the building. And the Omer Rabba Bar Chonam Rabbi Yochanan, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Kemachlokes Kan, the Machlokes here between Rabbi Eliezer and Chachamim with regard to Pkak HaChalon, Kach Machlokes Bin Neger, there's a identical machlokes between a different set of Tanoim, but we're going to work out, match up the different Tanoim, but it's the same exact issue. In the case of a neger, and we'll talk about a neger in a minute, and it's nigrar. Nigrar means that it's not tolui. It's not suspended in air, but the string that's attached to this neger is a very long rope, a very long string, such as it's dragging on the ground. Now, what exactly is a neger? So, in the translation that I have, He says it's a yased. Yased means a small piece of wood, like a peg. Hameshamesh lineilas hadeles. And it functions to lock the door. How do you lock the door with this peg, with this yased? Al yedei tki also, he knocks it down, bichar, into a hole, shebemiftan habayis, at the threshold of his house. So imagine if you walk into a room or a home, and there's a threshold on the bottom of the mashkov. They have a hole that they dig into the threshold. And when you lock the door, what you do is you take this peg and you put it very strongly, attach it into that hole, such that no one could get in. And it's locked. Now, I would assume that you want to lock the door, you're on the inside, you put it into the threshold, and that's an issue on Shabbos. And that's going to be the subject of a machlokes in the Mishnah in Erevin. Now, the flip side of nigrar would be tolui, meaning that, number one, you have to take this peg, and it's got to be tied down to the structure of the house in order to allow its use on Shabbos. And if it would be tolui, if this peg would be hanging in midair and its purpose is to bolt the door, then everybody would agree, under all circumstances, you'd be allowed to take this yased, this peg, and put it in. Why? Because we'd have both conditions that are necessary according to Rabbi Eliezer, namely, you'd have kosher and tolui. However, the case is neger ha-nigrar. Nigrar means it's dragged on the ground. It's not suspended in air. And the Mishnah at the end of Erevin, as we mentioned earlier, records a machlokes tanoim between the Chachomim and Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yochanan identifies that machlokes as the identical machlokes that we have here in Masechet Shabbos between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachomim regarding pkak hachalom. Now, just keep in mind, the very moment that you identify these two machlokes and these two disputes, you already know that the requirement of kesher, of kashur, that it should be tied down, is absolute. Nobody questions that. We're going to have a machlokes. Can we bolt the door in the case of a nigrar? It's not suspended, but it's tied down. That's going to be an issue. But nobody doubts that it has to be tied. It might not have to be suspended in midair, dragging up off the ground. It could be dragging on the ground, and that's going to be an issue. But for sure, you need kosher. And this is going to be the whole thrust of Rabbi Yirmiyah's argument against Rabbi Abba, to prove that even the Chachamim, who are more lenient than Rabbi Eliezer in the case of Pekak, but they require that shutter be at least tied down to the window. Now, one last introduction as we go through this mission in Erevin is that there's something called Migdash, the Beis HaMigdash, and there's something called Medina. Medina means outside the Beis HaMigdash. And with regard to Isuri Derabbanan on Shabbos, we are more Mekil in the Migdash than we are in Medina. And that's based on a principle called Ein Shavus B'Migdash, that the Kohanim are very careful, they're meticulous, there's reason, and we don't have to impose a Shvus B'Migdash. So what we're going to see here with regard to the Neger HaNigrar is that there are going to be more leniencies in the case of Migdash. So without further ado, Neger HaNigrar, Nolem Bo B'Migdash Avolo B'Medina. We are now learning the Shita of the Tanakama, the Chachamim, in that Mishnah. And Let's start backwards. We'll start with Medina. Medina is going to be our issue because we're not dealing with Migdash, but we'll mention Migdash in passing. But as far as Medina is concerned, which is anywhere outside the Migdash, we are going to prohibit, according to the Chachamim, this neger. We're not going to allow you to bolt the door by placing this peg into the threshold, into the hole in the threshold, because it's nigrar. Nigrar means it's not suspended in air. We will allow that in the case of Migdash, because in the worst case scenario, by bolting the door, he's only going to be violating an Issa Durabanan. On a Doraisa level, he's not changing fundamentally the structure of the building. He's just locking the door. And that's only a Shvus Rabbanon, which the Rabbanon insist on in order to avoid that Shvus and be Matil Chatchil, you'd have to, as we said before, lift it up off the ground. It should be suspended in air. And that Shita the Chacham will reflect our Rabbi Eliezer here in the case of Pekaka Chalon, that the shutter has to be not only tied down to the window, but it has to be on a short leash such that it's suspended in air. In the case of Migdash, even though it's nigrar, and it's lacking that second condition which would remove the Isur Derabbanan, the Shvus Derabbanan, nevertheless in Migdash we could be matir because there's no Shvus in Migdash. Now, why did the Chachamim insist that there's a Shvus in Medina outside the Migdash in the case where it's nigrar, it's not suspended in air, it's not tolui, it's nigrar? And the answer is because we need some sort of a heker to make sure that everybody sees that this is attached to the door, to the structure of the building. It's not, he's not creating or being mosif ala binyan. So that heker, according to the Chacham, is a requirement in order to allow this lechatchila in Medina, and it can only be achieved if it's tolui, but not if it's nigrar. Now, munach, in a case where the neger is lying on the ground, it's not tied at all to the building, is kan v'kan osur. Even in the Beis HaMikdash, it's going to be osur. Because now we have an Issur Torah. Why? Because you are now changing the structure of the building by adding a lock to the door that was not in any way tied down. And therefore, even in Migdash, we cannot be lenient and allow Melechas Bona. We can be lenient to the Migdash in a Shvus. Now the Mishnah continues and quotes the dissenting view of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Hamunach, if it's not attached at all, this bolt, then by Migdash, then it's mutter in the Beis HaMikdash, even if it's not attached. And here we have the Shita of Yehuda, that since he's not creating a new structure, he's only adding to a structure, that doesn't constitute a violation of Melechus Bona. And at worst case scenario, you'd have a violation of a Derabbanan and Rabbinic Shvus, and it's mutter in Migdash. The Anigrar is Af B'Medina. If it's dragging on the ground, where the Chachamim said that since it's not tolui, it's not suspended in mer, it's osur mirabbanan. Rabbi Yehuda says it's enough that it's tied down. Nigra means tied down, but not suspended in the air. That's called kosher velo tolui. Visanya, we have a braisa that embellishes this machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Ezehu neger hanigra shenolim bo b'migdash avalo b'medina. Kol she kosher v'tolui v'rosho magia la'aretz. Now, here we have a case where the neger is kosher v'tolui, but v'rosho magia la'aretz. Rosho magia la'aretz means that it's not suspended in the avir, but rather it's dragging on the ground. So you have both a kosher and tolui, but it's tolui in a limited sense because it's rosho magia la'aretz. So part of the neger is on the ground itself. And in such a case, since you have only kosher, but it's not totally be'avir, therefore the Rabbanan say that in Medina, it's asr. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, zeh af b'medina mutar. Even in outside the Mikdash, it's mutar, because all I need is kosher. I don't need it to be suspended in midair. And la'ezu she'medina asr, at what point would it be asr in the Medina? Kol she'eno lo kosher v'lo talui. Is then shomto minicha bekeren zavis. Then you're not allowed to use this neger. Why? Because it's lacking two conditions. It's eno kosher v'eno toloi. We see here clearly, says Rabbi Yirmiya, that the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda, who's mekil in the case of neger and nigra, and the Chachamu of Machmir is identical, says Rabbi Yochanan, with the Machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chacham regarding Pekak. But even Rabbi Yehuda, who's Mekil, he's only Mekil in Medina when it's kosher. He points out, Rabbi Yehuda in the Braisa, that if it was Eino Kosher Veino Toli, it's Asur B'Medina, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who's the Mekil. So the whole Machlokas between the Chacham and Rabbi Yehuda in Neger and Nagar revolves around exclusively the case where it's kosher and it's not toluy. Rabbi Yehuda allows it because it's enough that it's kosher. And the Rabbanan went a step further, they require toluy. As we said before, it has to be a heker that it's attached to this building. And by virtue of the equation of Rabbi Yochanan between the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim in Negar and Nigar and our machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim in Pekak, we see clearly that even the Chachamim, who should be matched up now with the Shita Rabbi Yehuda in Negar and Nigar, and the Chachamim in Pekak HaChalon allow you to shutter up this window, they would certainly require kosher. And that is Rabbi Yuri's proof against Rabbi Abba. Now Rabbi Yirmiya gives another strong push for his understanding. Omar Rabbi Yeshua bar Abba Mishmei De'ula Mantana Neger and Nigrar Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yeshua explicitly identifies the Tanakama of Neger and Nigrar with Rabbi Eliezer, which means that just like the Tanakama, in the case of Negra and Nigrar, is not happy if it's Nigrar, he requires Kosher V'Tolui, so too Rabbi Eliezer requires Kosher V'Tolui. And the implication is that the Chachamim in Negra and Nigrar are arguing with Rabbi Eliezer, the Chachamim, in Pekak HaChalon are arguing with Rabbi Eliezer, because they don't require Tolui. But everyone requires Kosher. So in response, Rabbi Abba says, I interpreted the Chachamim in terms of Pekak HaChalon, that they don't even require kosher, because I was maintaining a different Tana, a Tana that we haven't seen yet, the Tana we learned in the Braisa, Kona Shehiskino Balabayis Lios Posech V'Noel Bo Esadeles. Now we're talking about something very similar, but slightly different than Neger, and this is called a Kana. And this Kana is a kind of a pole that stands high, let's say it goes up to waist height, and when you lean it against the door, it locks the door. So it's not like the case of a Neger that we spoke before, that you knock it down into a hole in the threshold. It is simply a pole, and you lean it against the door. Are you allowed to do this on Shabbos? So the case is Hiskino. Hiskino means that the Baal HaBayis designated this kana for the purpose of locking his door. Lios poseach bo, v'noel bo esadeles. And is it enough that he designated it? So the Tanakhama, this price says that's not enough. What do you need? Bizman shekosher v'toli b'pesach. You need to, number one, tie down this pole, this kana, to the door. And moreover, it's got to be tolled. It should be suspended in air. Then poseach v'nolba. So if it's ein kosher v'tolui, if it does not have these two conditions, then ein poseach v'nolba. And this is the Tanakhama that we should identify with Rabbi Eliezer in Pkakach Halon that requires two conditions, kosher v'tolui. Now the Braisa quotes a second opinion of the Tana, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Misukot. All he has to do is mentally, before he enters into Shabbos, designate this rod as a lock for his door. Afal pishenu kosher, even if it's not tied down. So Rabbi Abba says here, we have the Shita of Shimon Gamliel, that not only can we drop the condition of tolui, we can even drop the condition of kosher. And all we need is mental designation that this is going to serve as part of the door, to function for the door. And therefore the Chachamim in Pkakach alone would require, according to this Rav Shimon Gamliel, nothing more than designating this Pkak, this shutter, for the purpose of shuttering down his window. On Rabbi Yehuda Bar Shilat, right, Shilat I told you many times, the Shivisi Hashem Linegdi Samid, on Rav Asi, on Rabbi Yochan Halocha, Ki Rav Shimon Gamliel. And according to this tradition, Rabbi Yochanan actually passing like Rav Shimon Gamliel. You don't need kosher, you don't need tolui, all you need is to designate it by machshava, and it's no longer similar to Mosif Halabinyan. We don't care what the spectator might think, but you know that you designate it as part of this building, and in the case of Kane, you can use it to close and lock your door, even though it's not kosher, and all you need is a machshava. Because we paskin like Rav Shimon Gamliel. So the Gemara asks, Umiyam Rav Yochanan Hachi, don't we have a contradiction now in Rav Yochanan of Asnan? We have a Mishnah later on, which we're going to see here today, that says, quote, and Rav Yochanan is going to qualify this, Kol Kisuye HaKelim, now we're turning to Kuf Chavav Amid Beis, Sheyesh Lam Beis Achizo, Nitolim B'Shabbos. The Mishnah says that if you have coverings, lids, so imagine that you have a subterranean bar, and let's say you use it to draw water, and you lock it up on top with a lid, you don't want all the creatures of the world and everything else to fall into the bar. That lid, says the Mishnah, will only be mutter betiltel if this kisui, if this lid, has a handle to it. And once it has a handle, it's not called muktzah, because the lid with a handle attached to it indicates that you can use it for various functions. And it's not muktzah. V'yom Rav Yehuda Bar Shilom Rav Asi Rav Yochanan V'hu shetehei toras kli aleihem. That when the Mishnah allows you to move this cover, this lid cover, because it has a handle, there's another condition that must be met, and that is Yesh Toras Kli Aleihem. In other words, if you have a lid and it only functions in one capacity, and that is to cover the bar, this subterranean opening, then that itself is not enough to make it considered royal atashmish. Because if you have a kli that's not royal atashmish, it's muktzah. So you want to upgrade it to a kli that's royal atashmish. It's suitable for use. Says Rabbi Yochanan, you have to give me another use. What other use can I function with in the case of a kisui kelim? In other words, if this is designated for covering the bar, then what alternative use could I have with it? If I have another use, let's say I designated to use for a cover of my pot or something like that, then you're allowed to move it, it's not mukt. But in the absence of this condition of Toras Kli Aleihem, that it has some other function, then it's mukt. So the Gemara says now, And this is the Gemara's question, that since Rabbi Yochanan added this condition of Toras Kli Aleihem in the case of a lid, of a kisui, then we have to logically apply that same condition, that same requirement in the case of a kana. Remember, we had to read the pole that he uses to close his door. That also should be mukta, unless it has some sort of additional function. It's not just there for the purpose of locking your door, because ne'ilah itself is not a shimush that we consider it choshev that is very significant. It's like the case of covering a lid cover. You have to have some other function for it. So how could it be that Rabbi Yochanan paskins like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that you're allowed to lock your door with this reed, this pole, because you designated it mentally on Erev Shabbos? But what about the other condition that Rabbi Yochanan requires in order to circumvent the violation of Mukta, and that is Yesh Toras Kli Aleihem? In the case of the reed, what Toras Kli is there? The Chitema, and if you'll answer, Hachinami, maybe, when Rav Shimon Gamliel allowed you to use and move this reed in order to lock your door, it was only a case of the Ika Toras Kli Olav, that it had some additional function for which it could be used. For example, Rashi says, Lafok Bozesim, you remember when they used to pile on the olives, they had to turn over the olives one on top of the other to check out whether they are ripe and send them to the press. So this pole that you use to lock your door has another secondary but nevertheless designated function, Lafok Bozesim. So the Gemara answers, no, that's impossible. Umi boy Rab Shimon ben Gamliel Toras Kli Olav, you cannot assume that when Rav Yochanan Paskin like Rab Shimon, allowing you to take this kana and lock your door with it, he meant because it has a Toras Kli. Vasanya, I'm going to prove to you that Rab Shimon Gamliel doesn't require a Toras Kli. Charios Shel Dekel, we have those branches, dried branches of a palm tree. Shegidoram L'shem Eitzim, and he decided. This is the Tanakhama. We'll get to Rav Shimon Gamliel in just a second. The Braisa first records the Shita of the Chachamim, and they require, in order to remove the status of Mukta, because any branch of a tree is Mukta, unless you designate it for some purpose, he needs Gidaram L'Shem Eitzim. What does that mean? He's going to have to do something special to designate these Eitzim as a function that's Mutar on Shabbos, because normally these Chariel Shel Dekel are used for Hasaka, they're used for burning and fuel, which on Shabbos obviously is Osir, so therefore they're Mukta. Nimelach Aleihem, but he changed his mind, Liyeshiva. He decides that he wants to pile up these Chariel Shel Dekel, one on top of the other, and create a couch. Says the Rabbanan, Tzarch Likshar. It's not enough that he thinks mentally before Shabbos that he's going to use it as a yeshiva, but he has to tie them up. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer Eino Tzarch Likshar. Rav Shimon Gamliel says that all you need is to mentally designate it for the purpose of yeshiva. And in this case of Chorios Shel Dekel, they don't have a Toras Kli. The only other function that these Chorios Shel Dekel could have besides sitting would be to use them for firewood as fuel. So we see that clearly Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that you don't need any action and all you need is machshava to designate it for something use, and you don't even need a Toras Kli. So how is it possible that Rav Yochanan could paskin like Rav Shimon Gamliel when he, in the case of Kisuye Kalim, requires Toras Kli Aleihem, that it has to have some other choshuva function? So the Gemara answers, you're right, that according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, you could be metaltel the kana and lock your door with that reed, that pole, even though it doesn't have a Toras Kli. Rabbi Yochanan svirle kavasi bechadu polagale bechad. Rabbi Yochanan accepted Rabbi Shimon Gamliel only part way, only as far as his chiddush that you don't need kosher, you don't have to tie down the pole to the door in order to use it as a lock. And as far as the Iser Bona is concerned, that you might be adding something to a binyan, to a structure, for that, Rav Shimon Gamliel is right. You designated mentally on Erev Shabbos. It's part of the binyan, and you don't have to worry about Melechas Bona. However, and that's even though it's not kosher, it's not tied down. But In another sense, he rejected Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, as far as Muktzah, forget about Binyan, Melechus Binyan, but as far as Muktzah, Rav Shimon Gamliel was lenient, allowing you to move this Kana, even though it doesn't have a Torah's Kliyola. And in that case, Rav Yochanan is Cholek, he disagrees, he's Machmir, and he requires that it has a Torah's Kliyola. So again, Rav Olsay, imagine a case, this would be a quiz question for you, if I was testing you. What would Rabbi Yochanan Paskin in the following scenario? I have this pole that I designated on Erev Shabbos as a way of locking my door. I did not tie it down to the door. I just had a mental machshava of designating for that purpose. And I also use it on certain occasions to turn over the Zaysen. And the answer is that would be mutar. I can lock my door. Why? Because it has the Torah's Kliyolah. And even though it's not kosher, Rav Yochanan accepts the shita of Shimon Gamliel, you don't need even kosher. Whereas Rav Yirmi, if you remember, said that everybody agrees that you need kosher. Rav Yochanan says, no. We, and this is what we saw Rav Abba, we're going to go with Rav Shimon Gamliel, he doesn't even need kosher. Dorish Rav Yitzchok Nafcha. Rav Yitzchok, interesting, was a carpenter. And they called him Rav Yitzchok Nafcha, Apischa Dereshka Lusa. He was darshaning the halacha in the presence of the exilarch, is the Reshka Lusa. Halacha ki Rav Eliezer. We paskin like Rav Eliezer, which means that pkakach alone, if you want to shutter up your door, it's not going to be mutter unless it's both kosher, tied down, and totally suspended in midair. Masiv, Rabbi Amram raises the following objection to Rabbi Yitzchok Nafcha. We learned in a Mishnah later on, at the end of Masechta Shabbos, which Amir Tzeshem will get to in just a month's time, and the next day we'll start Erevin. Umidivreim lo madnu, shepokikin umodidin v'koshrim v'shabbos, that you're allowed on Shabbos to shutter up your window, even if it's not kosher. Vitoli. Maybe he requires kosher, but he doesn't require toli. How can you tell me that we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer? Now, all this in the mission at the end of Masechta Shabbos is a story about Rabbi Tzadok Abashol, the great Tanoim, Shepokaku Chalon B'Shabbos. They went ahead and they shuttered the window on Shabbos. And it seems, based on the logic of the language of Midivreim Lamadnu, that they were absolutely laid back about it. They didn't require anything, not totally, and not even kosher. And there's another part to that Mishnah, which I'll just mention in passing. We'll get to it in Mishnah Shem in a month. And that is that they tied down a kli cheres in a kesher aroy, which means a temporary kind of knot. K'day limdod bo, and they would use this kli cheres as a measurement to a certain cask that had a crack in it, and the question is whether that crack had a sheer tefach or not. Very complicated Mishnah at the end of Masechta Shabbos. You know, when you get to the end of Masechta Shabbos, you know, you're exhausted after 157 pages, so you think they'll let you go easy at the very end on that last page. But the last sugya in Masechta Shabbos is one of the most complicated sugyas. Anyway, but what we derive from that story, what we call a story is Halacha L'maisa, of the Tanoim, is that they allowed pkakach alone to shutter up the window, they allowed measuring on Shabbos, and they even allowed tying a knot if it's a knot that is temporary. All this was allowed on Shabbos. And we see clearly that we don't paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, because Rabbi Eliezer pkakach alone, lo mi boy, that he requires kosher, he even goes further than he requires totally, it has to be suspended. Omalei, Abaye. So Abaye turns back to Rav Amram to deflect his question. He says, Madateich, why do you assume that that Mishnah is against Rabbi Eliezer? Maybe Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha could respond by saying that that Mishnah reflects the Shita of the Chachamim, and we accept the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. That's what Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha could say. And perhaps your proof is Mishum de Katani Stama. In other words, that we have the opinion of the Chachamim, and Rebbe is so same like the Chachamim. And what that means is that Rebbe started the Mishnah in Pekak, and he said that you require both kosher and tolui. Is, let me just read to you. The imo chachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachach Yes. One second. Is Kevin Shesosam Rebbe Kedas Chachamim Mashva Shenifsika Halacha Kimosam. In other words, our Mishnah quotes a Machlokas Tanoim. And the other Mishnah, which is at the end of Masechta Shabbos, so Abaye is again, let's review, turning to Rav Amram, and he's saying to Rav Amram, you found a Mishnah at the end of Masechta Shabbos, which indicates that we paskin like Chachomim, and you could be Pokek Chalon even without Kosher V'Tolui, and you believe that that Mishnah is Mishum de Ketani Stoma. That's called a Stam Mishnah. So even though our Mishnah records Rabbi Eliezer, you want to paskin like the Mishnah at the end of Shabbos, because that's a Stam Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer's name is completely omitted. So I'm going to contend against you and say, Neger HaNigor Nami Stoma. The Mishnah at the end of Masechta Erevin is also a Stam Mishnah. And the Mishnah, without mentioning the name of Rabbi Eliezer, opens by telling us that Negar and Nigrar is Ein, you're not allowed to use it on Shabbos in Medina, because it doesn't have the extra condition of Tolu. It's Nigrar, it's not Tolu. So therefore the Gemara says, you're in a bind over here. You have two Mishnayos, and you don't know which one to paskin like. And Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka decided that he wants to paskin like Rabbi Eliezer based on the Mishnah at the end of Erevin, which is Neger and Nigrar. And that's a Stam Mishnah, Ki Rabbi Eliezer. You have your right to paskin like the Stam Mishnah at the end of Masechta Shabbos, which indicates the Shita of the Chacham. You don't need Kosher V'Tolu. But you have no right to object to Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka. So Gemara rejects Abaye. Afilu Hachi. Even though it's true that we have a Mishnah at the end of Masechta Erevin, in the case of Negar and Nigrar, that is a Stam Mishnah reflecting Rabbi Eliezer, that we need Kosher V'Tolui. Nevertheless, Rav Amram has a very strong proof that we paskin like the Chachamim. Why? And that's called L'Maisa. Maisa Rav. What is Maisa Rav? At the Mishnah at the end of Shabbos, he tells the story about Rabbi Tzadik and Rabbi Abishol and what they did L'maisa. And whenever you see the Tanoim that teach us what to do L'maisa, that's called Maisa Rav. And we always paskin like a Maisa Rav. So you're right. As far as Abaye is concerned, you have a stira between two Stam Mishnayos, and you don't know which way to be Machria. But since we have a principle that we always paskin K'maisa Rav, here we have a case at the end of Shabbos of a Maisa Rav. They were pokeg the Chalon, even though there was no kosher and there was no Tolvi. And this leads us to the last Mishnah in the Perek. And it says, Kisu Kalim She Yeshlam Beis Achizu Nitol V'Shabbos. If you have a lid and it has a handle to it, you're allowed to move it. Otherwise, in the absence of a handle, it's eino nital. You're not allowed to move it. Omer Rav Yosi b'medvar mamurim. He tries to clarify the the Tanakhama, he says, Bikisi Karkos, that you have a subterranean dig, a bar, and you put a kisui, a covering on top of that bar, on top of that pit in the karka. Anything that's connected to the karka looks like meleches bone. And therefore, you have to tell me that this lid is a keli, meaning it could be used as a utensil outside of the context of covering the bar. And for that, you need a handle. The handle indicates that you might take it this way and that way, or even within the context of meleches bone, it becomes aroy, it becomes temporary. You're going to pick it up, you're going to close it. Novel, bekisui kalim, but if you have a classic utensil, is benkach ubenkach nitolim b'shabbos. Whether it has a handle or it doesn't have a handle, you're allowed to move it on Shabbos. And the implication is that the Tanakhama would say no. All kalim, and even according to one gears that says kol kalim, if it's a kisui kalim, it has to have a handle to it. Om Rav Yehuda bar Shiloh, Om Rav Asiyah, Om Rav Yochav Ushiyesh Torah's kli alehem. This heter that allows you to move a kisui kli, the lid of a utensil, that's only if it's roi l'tashmish acher, if it has some other use that you could designate it for, and because of that other tashmish, it's considered a kli. But the fact that you use it as a lid, that's not enough to be machshev it as roi l'tashmish choshuv, and it's still mukta, you're not allowed to be metaltal it. And that's what we learned at the beginning of this omud. The Gemara points out the Kuli Alma, everybody, the Tanakhama and Rav Yossi agree that Kisui Karkos im Yesh Lehem Beis Achiza, if you're talking about a covering over a bar that's in the ground, you're only allowed to move that covering if it has a handle in, then you're allowed to move it low if it doesn't have a handle low. But Kisui Kalim, in the case of utensils that are portable and are not connected to the karka, afal gavti einlem beis achiza, even in the absence of a handle, you're allowed to move them around. So what then is the machlokas here between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi? Ki pli, they argue, bekelim dechabrinu bi'ara. We have kelim that are connected to the ground, and they're connected to a ground on a pretty permanent basis, like, for example, an oven. Remember, they had those small ovens that were connected to the ground. Marisov, according to Tanakhama, once he connects it to the ground, it's similar to a bar. And in the case of a bar, we said that a covering over a bar has to have a handle to it. It's Gazrinon. We have a Gzera that we're not going to allow you to move these kisuyim of a tanur because they're mechubra, they look like the bar. Because tomorrow you're going to move it when it's attached to a bar. Mar Sovra Lo Gazrinin. Whereas Rabbi Yossi says we don't accept that Gzera. Lishnach Rina, the second Lishnah is more or less identical with the first, but just in a slightly different formulation. And it says the following, Ki Pligi, where do we have Machlok Srin Rabbi Yossi Chacham Bekisui Tanur? With regard to the covering over an oven that's connected to the ground. Mar, according to Tanakhama Midami Leila Kisui Karka, it's like the case of a lid that you use to close your bar. And therefore, just like that lid is osur if it doesn't have a beis achiza, so to the lid that covers an oven must have a handle to it. Umar Midamile Likisu Kalim. But Rabbi Yossi says, no, it's like all other Kalim, and therefore you don't need a handle. And Hajan Alecha, Perikola Kalim. And now we begin the 18th Perik Mefanim. And the Mishnah talks about what we call tircha, which means that you work a little bit too hard on Shabbos. Under what circumstances can we allow it? Mifanim, you own a storehouse, and you keep straw there, you keep wheat there. You're allowed to be mifanim, you're allowed to clear it out on Shabbos. Afilu arba v'chamesh kupos, even 4 or 5 basketfuls of tevin, straw, or tvua, or grains. And why are we allowing you to do this? After all, it's a big, big schlep. And the answer is, it's not included in the Issur Tircha B'nei Ha'Orchim, because you need a place to invite your Orchim, your guests, either to have them sit down over there, or to have them eat a meal over there. U'mipnei bitul beis hamedrash, alternatively, because there's not enough room for the Talmidim to come and hear the drasha, so we're not going to enforce the law of Tircha B'Shabbos. We're going to allow you to do this effort. Avalos HaOtzar. But if you're just clearing out the straw or the kernels of grains from your storehouse, that's already tircha, and that's not permitted. The Mishnah goes on to say that when we allowed you for the sake of Orchim, etc., is mefanim, is that's a case of food that could be served on Shabbos. It's edible on Shabbos, and therefore we're not dealing with muktzah. And the Mishnah lists those foods that are mutter, for example, truma tahora, right? Truma tahora means that you can feed, you know, these grains to the animal that belongs to a kohen, tamai. Tamai is tefuah that you buy from an Am Haaretz. You don't know for sure whether he's mafresh maser. And the Gemara is going to ask, well, this is asur b'achila, so why is he allowed to be metaltalit? And the answer is it's royal aniyim, because he can feed it to poor people. Maiser rishon shenitla trumaso. So he gave maiser 1/10 to the Levi. He took off his truma and he gave it to the Kohen. So now what's ever left is mutter for everyone to eat. Maiser sheni vegde sheniftu. If he has kodesh that he needs to redeem, and he redeemed it. Once he redeemed it, you're allowed to eat it. Ve'haturmus hayovesh. This is a very bitter kind of a bean, of a legume. And even so, it's not muksim v'neishu machol le'izim, because the goats eat this thing that's called turmus. So it's roi l'achilas behema, and therefore it's not mukts. Avalo, but what you're not allowed to take out of your storehouse is tevel. Tevel is tefuah before afrashas trumas of maestris, which is asur. Velos maestro rishon shalo nitla trumaso. Or, for example, he gave maestro to the lady, but he has not yet taken off his truma, that's tevel. Velos maestro sheni vegde shalo niftu. You're outside of Yerushalayim, you're not allowed to eat the maestro sheni hegdish, you're not allowed to eat anywhere until you do a pidyon. He hasn't done a pidyon, and therefore this is mukta. Velos haluf. Again, this is a kind of a bean that even the goats wouldn't eat in its natural state. It's very moist, and it's not royal achil even for behema. V'las achardol. Chardol is only edible when you crush it, and here he hasn't crushed it. Rav Shimon Gamliel matir b'luf, v'neishu machil orvin. He says that the ravens will eat the luf, even though it's very moist, and the goats wouldn't eat it. And if he's a rich guy, he owns his pack of ravens. The Mishnah continues to speak about food that's edible for animals. But on the other hand, he didn't think going into Shabbos that he would feed it to the animals. Chavile kash v'chavile etzim, chavile zrodim. Right, these are all types of kanim, of reeds that we cut down, and when they're soft, you can eat them. And the Mishnah stipulates in his kinon lemaichel behema, if he designates it for the animals in machshava and erev Shabbos, then metaltel son, then it's not mukta. V'im lav ein metaltel. So the normal use for these kinds of reeds is as fuel for your fire, and therefore it's mukta. So unless you designate it on erev Shabbos that you'll feed the animals, we assume it's designated for a sucker for fire, for fuel, and therefore it's muktzah. Now the Gemara analyzes the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that mefanim afilu arba v'chamesh kupos. Hashta, now that you told me chamesh, mefanim, that even if you have five kupos, which are very, very large, and requires a tremendous amount of effort, you're allowed to move them. It's arba b'boy, so why do you have to mention four? So we'll see that one man, the Omer in the Gemara, we're not up to that yet, is going to say, well, that's how the Mishnah speaks. You know, we talk about four and five. But Rav Chisda is going to take this very seriously. And he says, Arba mechamesh. What the Mishnah means is that if you have in your storehouse five of these kupos, you're allowed to take out of the five. So we read it not four or five, but four out of the five. Arba mechamesh. And the reason why we don't want to allow you to take the last of the five is because then the ground, the floor of the storehouse will be totally empty, and you might look and see, wait a minute, there are a couple of holes in the ground, let me just quickly shave it off, you know, or fill it in. And that's called mashve gumos, and that's a malach of bona. Now, there's some girsa that has ikka diyamra arba me'otzer katon v'chamesh me'otzer gadol. That it means that if you have a smaller storehouse, then you take four out of the five, leaving the fifth. If you have a larger storehouse, you have many, many kupos, then you can take as many as five, because we're not afraid that the floor will be exposed, because there are many, many other kupos that you left behind. As far as tircha is concerned, we'll allow you a maximum of five kupos. That's enough work. Avalois ha'otzar. But you're not allowed to clear out an otzar. Now, what does that mean? You're not allowed to clear out an otzar? It would seem to mean that you're not allowed to take everything out of the otzar and leave it bare, leave it empty, because as we said before, we're afraid of mashve gumos. Shelo yaschil b'otzar tchilo. Not only that, he has to have already on Erev Shabbos have begun the process of taking out from the otzar to feed his family, even in the case of food that's humanly for consumption, or for food for the animals. But if he hasn't done anything to begin with, then it's considered muktza. Umani, and which shita does our Mishnah reflect? Rabbi Yehuda, the islay muktza. And Rabbi Yehuda says that when you keep food, which could be food, but it also might not be food, and you have it locked up in a storehouse, that's called muktza. You have to have designated already on Erev Shabbos that you want to use it on Shabbos, and if you don't do so, it's muktza. And even for the sake of a mitzvah, like we spoke about Archim, Rabbi Yehuda would not allow you to take out of the, you know, the grains out of the baskets in the sacks in the storehouse, because they're mukt. Shmuel on the other hand says, and here we'll just start the top of Kuf Chav Zayin, Arbav Chamesh, who kedamri yinshi. Don't be so careful about four and five. People use that language. The Mishnah reflects the way that people speak. And he could take out four or five. That's just the way the language, you know, expresses itself. Let's say he has more guests that are coming, and he has to take out even more than five. He's allowed to take out even more than five. The Mishnah only mentions four or five because that's the way we speak. But whatever you need to take out of the otzar, of the storehouse, you're allowed. Umai, so what does the Mishnah mean when it says, have a loes ha-otzar? Shalo yigmar kulo. No matter how many sacks of tvua, etc., that he needs to take out of the otzar in order to make sure the otzar could be used for housing, hosting his guests, but lo yigmar is kulo. He should not expose the ground by taking off the very last of his sacks. Why? Dilma osi lashriye gumos. Because he might come to flatten out the ground, and when he does so, he will violate Melech's bona. V'laschule maschil. But if, on the other hand, he decides on Shabbos that he wants to feed his animals, then there's no issue of mukta, even though before Shabbos he didn't prepare it as such. He had it in his storehouse. And we have no problem of Sheva Yashva Gumos because he'll be very careful to leave at least one sack left in the storehouse. Umani, and who is the author of Mishnah? Rabbi Shimon, he the Lesle Mukta. Rabbi Shimon holds that anything that could theoretically be used is not Mukta. You don't have to go out of your way on Erev Shabbos to designate it and be making it as such. And therefore, even in this case where he didn't think on Erev Shabbos that he was going to feed his animals with this tvua teva, nevertheless he's allowed to do so, as long as he makes sure and he guarantees that there'll be something left in the otzar. And this is where we're going to stop here, on the top of Kuf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, and we're up to line 5, Tanu Rabbanu.